desire, your prayers. My throat's trying to give me a little trouble. The poor thing's had trouble for years. I punished it so much that it likes to react in a negative way to me sometimes. All right, we had a message yesterday morning on faith. And I've been praying, and the Lord gave me a message on faith also. But I am going to pinpoint, I guess, or be more specific. Sister Marcia had a nice message, but hers was rather general. I am going to be more specific and angle in what I preach. Our scriptures will cross some. Matter of fact, my text she used on in her message, a ways down, and that's where I'm going to start with. So let's go to Luke, the 17th chapter. Again, we desire your prayers. Lord will have mercy upon us. Help us. 17:1 of the good book of Luke said, "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. For better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, he cast in the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. But it said, Take heed to yourselves. Thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith." Now, in the 18th chapter of Luke, and the 8th verse, he says here, "That I tell you that he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Then I want to turn to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4:1. It said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." All right, another scripture I want is Mark 9:24. Mark 9:24. And this is a situation, the context of this scripture, a father is bringing a child, I believe it is, to the Lord. And this little child has got a spirit, a wrong spirit, and he's wanting help. And I believe the disciples are not able to help him. I believe this is the same place. But anyway, it gets on down in here, and Jesus said, he talked to the Lord now, and Jesus said to him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." Now then, when the disciples over here, back in Luke 17, when the disciples over here heard the Lord talking, and he's talking about offenses, he's talking about forgiveness, and they looked the whole situation over, so to speak, and they said, "Lord, increase our faith." Saints, if there's a day and a time that we need an increase of faith, I believe it's today. We're at probably, as far as the United States is, we're at the lowest ebb of faith that it's ever been. They, very few people really have deep faith in God. They do not. They don't want it. They push back against it. But the bottom line is, if you and I are going to make heaven, if we're going to have blessings, if we're going to get prayer, answered prayer, we're going to have faith in God. So they said, "Increase our faith." Would it be your prayer and your desire this afternoon to say, "Lord, increase our faith"? Would you be willing to allow him to do that? It said, "Lord, increase our faith." I'm not going to do it. It's going to take God to do it. The 12th chapter of Hebrews over here said he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that starts it. When he starts dealing with you and calling you, and working with you when you're in sin and so forth, he begins to stir up or bring to birth, so to speak, the desire for God, and he begins to give you enough faith to be able to reach out when you repent and confess and forsake and do that. He begins to give you enough faith to begin to reach out and say, Lord, I accept. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have enough faith to reach out and get a hold of the fact that I can be saved. It may not be a great faith, so to speak, but it's enough to get saved with. It's enough to start with. It's enough to live with. But the bottom line is, we don't want to stop there. We want it to increase. We want a foundation, as I call it, of faith. I have preached on this thought of a foundation. Abraham had a foundation of faith. He believed when it was almost impossible to believe. He received and got blessings and glory when it was in times of great distress and so forth. But Abraham didn't quit. The bottom line is, today, you and I need an increase of faith. In other words, we need more. And we need the Lord to do it. We need the Lord to increase it for us. And we need to say, Lord, help us. Offenses are going to come. There's going to be problems that's going to arise. It's not going to always be smooth sailing. There's a preacher the other day. You're going to have trials and tribulations and battle. And some of them are storms of great magnitude that's going to do everything it can to stop you. You're going to take faith to go through that. How many of you know what the Iditarod race is in Alaska? The Iditarod race was started by a man named Joe Reddington. Joe Reddington was born in Kingfisher, Oklahoma. He was born on February 1st. I don't remember the date, but I was in Alaska in 2015, and I saw in a book about the Iditarod headquarters. I thought, I want to see this. So I went by there, and they had a walkway up to this big log building, and over here was a bust and so forth of Joe Reddington. And over here there was a whole statues of dogs. Several of them down through there. I didn't even notice this. I'm looking at all the dogs. So I went in a building and I went in there and I talked to two women in there. And they said, where are you from? I said, Oklahoma. Oklahoma? Yeah. That's where Joe Reddington's from. He was born in Kingfisher. You know where that is? I said, oh yeah. I said, who's Joe Reddington? I didn't know who he was. Said, well, it's a deal right out there about him. I totally missed it. Well, when I went back out the car to get something, and I come back in, I wanted to know about this fellow. So I read about it. I bought a book about it. It's a very interesting book, but he's the father of the Iditarod race in Alaska. Him and his wife in the 50s had a dream of the race from about Anchorage all the way to Nome. There was a plague one time, I believe it was, and they had to get medicine from a point to a point, and it was a very special track or way that they went, and they wanted to bring about something that would commemorate this. So they wanted this race. This race is a 1,000-mile race. This race is the endurance race of all endurances. And what I say that is this. Joe said in that book that at times they were in whiteout conditions. He said at times the wind would blow at 40 to 50 miles an hour and the temperature was about 40 below zero. Can you imagine what the wind chill was? There's times that he said that he literally was going in circles and wasn't getting anywhere. He just flat had to stop in that kind of weather and spend the night. The dogs literally bury themselves in the snow. They dig out a hole, they climb down in it, and let the snow cover them up for the night. And so consequently, the Iditarod race is the endurance race of endurance. And the only way you're going to get through it, you're going to have to be mature. You don't want a child running a race like this. You want somebody that's got some age and some maturity, like was being preached this morning, to be able to do that. Listen, folks, we need faith to be able to get us through on the Iditarod, so to speak. There's going to be times that your trials and your tribulations is not going to be a day long or a week long, but might be 2 or 3 years long and go on and on. It's going to be tough and severe. It's going to be cold. It's going to be hard. And you need faith to be able to take you from point A to point C and keep you going all the way through with a faith in God. When you get through it, you get the victory. If If you don't have that, you won't make it. Increase our faith. How much faith do you have this afternoon? Are you in a hard battle right now? Are you struggling? You don't maybe know exactly how it's going to go, but you've got your head up and your chin back, and I'm going to go anyway. Listen, increase our faith, the disciples said. He said, Lord, help my unbelief. Do we have any unbelief in there that's hindering us? Unbelief can hinder us now. So we want an increase to go over that. I believe, Lord, help thou. If there's anything there in your experience that's hindering you today, I want to beg you to go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me right here. I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I don't want to go down. I don't want to give up. I don't want to backslide. I don't want to lose this victory. I want it, and I want it bad. I'm going on, Lord, by your help. Let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans 10 and 16. You pray for us, please. For they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Elias saith, Lord, who have believed our report. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This afternoon, do we believe the report? He said, they've not all obeyed the gospel, Lord, who have believed. Do you and I believe the report? Do we believe this book? Do we believe the stories, the things that are written in it to stir our faith up? There's enough things in there that you can, by the Lord's help, increase your faith off of just what's in that book. Without any experiences yourself, the Lord sends our experiences along to help us to have a foundation in our own selves. But the bottom, when I say our own selves and our own experience, but the bottom line is still, this book was written and it has things in there to inspire us and to challenge us and to stir us and to increase our faith if we'll let it. Who had believed a report? Then he said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, an old sinner comes to a meeting. We got a revival meeting going on, camp meeting, seminary meeting, whatever. An old sinner comes in. And the ministers are preaching night after night, service after service. And the Lord begins to, by the word, begins to inspire faith. He begins to see where he's at. He begins to understand he's going to hell. He begins to understand his lost condition. He begins to understand there's a way out. There is a blessing. There is a salvation. There's some above and beyond what I've got. And I can get it because the word of God says that you can be saved and redeemed and washed in the blood of Jesus. There's victory, there's power, and there's glory. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, it helps you and I to read this good old word and to believe this good old word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's go to Hebrews now, the 11th chapter. Now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith. Now. How's your faith right now? I know I repeated that a while ago. But like I said, I'm going to hammer on some things. Now faith. The Lord wants you and I to have faith now. We don't know what we face tonight. We could be in a car wreck. We could have something happen to us. Right here on the grounds. So the Lord wants you and I to have faith right now. And then it said, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The translation on this, now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for. But faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. Faith is being sure of the things we hope for. Now faith is a title deed of things hoped for. And what is faith? Faith gives substance to our hope. And then the evidence of things not seen, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality, faith perceiving as real what is not revealed to the senses. 1983, Mammoth Spring, Missouri, there was a wedding. We went on our honeymoon. On the honeymoon, I got sick. had a high fever, or had a fever anyway. I don't know what, never did know what was wrong with me, but I was sick. So that went one afternoon and through the night and into the next morning. Rebecca started calling for prayer, and I didn't feel like doing anything. I didn't want to leave the motel. So she prayed for me, and she prayed all around the world, so to speak, and prayed for me last. Now I'm thinking, you need to pray for me. And she's praying for everybody else. Well, she finally got to this old fella. And she got to it, and while she was praying, the Lord spoke to me and said, thank God for healing. I said, I'm not well. He said, thank God for healing. I said, I'm not well. He said, thank God for healing. I said, Lord, I'm not well. And she got through praying. I said, get the Bible. I quoted her scripture too, had her read her scripture too, then I had her pray again. And when she's praying that time, it began to be revealed to my senses, my mind, what the Lord was getting at. In other words, what he wanted me to do was claim healing, even though I didn't feel anything, see anything, realize anything. He wanted me to say, thank God for healing, even though I didn't feel nothing. So what did I do? I started thanking God for healing. And when I did, I started getting better right then. And I got better and better, and I come up out of that bed. I got dressed. We took off, and I was the further away, the better I got, till I was totally well. That's what that scripture's talking for. The Lord wants you to grasp by faith something you don't really see as maybe possible or reality, but by faith, and especially inspired faith. There is some things you can claim healing for: a cold, a headache, maybe a toe ache, so to speak. And you can explain, maybe have faith for something on a minor scale. But if I told you was dying with cancer, that'd be a little bit different. Faith goes down just like that when people are told they got cancer most of the time. The Lord wants you to pray till he inspires your faith. He wants you to study. He wants you to beg. He wants you to pray. And I have a track in my Bible that talks about the confession of faith. Us confessing what we don't see or feel. There was a man that was sick. He couldn't walk. And so he told two brothers, the Lord had blessed him, inspired him, and let him know that I'm going to heal you. And he told these brothers, he said, I want you to come over and help me. They helped him out of the bed. He said, we're going to go down the sidewalk, and we're going to go till I can walk. And they took off. They went one block, nothing happened. They went two blocks, nothing happened. On the third block, the power of God hit his body, and he took off. What about the man that was at the gate, wasn't it? Beautiful, and Peter and John, why didn't come along? It said, gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. Listen, folks, they laid hands on that man and prayed for him, and he was healed instantly, praise God. Increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. So, now faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then it goes down in the seventh verse here, to connect in with that, and said, by faith Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah, it hadn't even rained, folks. The only watering had been done was by the dew. It hadn't rained. But yet, the Lord helped Noah to reach out in faith. Except the warning. It was 120 years. He was mocked. He was belittled. He was all kinds of things. But the Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness, declaring. And can you imagine? Well, no, it's not even rain. What do you mean a flood? No, you're crazy. No, you ain't got no sense. No, it's not going to rain. Well, I wasn't even fool with building an ark like that. But we've got a child's book, or we did have. And in that child's book, it's got a picture in the story. And in that picture, it shows the animals coming up. The ark's right over here. The animals are coming up this way. And it shows men standing there. And those animals are marching in, and there's nobody leading them but God. And as they begin to go in there, you can see the horror on those men's faces. Those men are beginning to see maybe there's something to this. 120 years now. Listen, folks, you and I more than likely will never live 120 years. But the bottom line is you and I can have the same type of faith that Noah had. You can have the same type of faith that Abraham had. You can have the same type of faith that this brother or that sister had. The bottom line, increase our faith. Don't stop the Lord when he's increasing your faith. Say, Lord, increase it on. Increase my faith. Well, you know the story. They had a flood. All right, let's go to 10 and 38 of Hebrews. Just up the page here, at least my page. It said here, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. For we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now the just shall live by faith. We're going to have to live by faith, saints. Bottom line, we're going to have to live by it. That is our lifeline. It's not emotions. It's not feelings anyway. It's flat out straight faith between you and God. There's going to be times that you don't feel very good. There's going to be times that things have gone totally backwards to what they ought to. But faith goes straight through to God. It's what holds you steady. It's what makes you do what you do. So he said here, the just shall live by faith. Do you know that we have faith in a lot of things besides God? When you turn the key in your car, do you expect it to start or be dead? You expect it to start, don't you? When you turn on the oven, turn on the dishwasher, fire up the sweeper, you expect them to work. You have faith that they're going to start, that they're going to run, that they're going to do. The Lord said the just, his people, saved people, shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But then it said, but we are not of them who draw back. Lord, help us, unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And the 6th verse of the 11th chapter said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's rewarded them that diligently seek him. So Lord, help us. We want to allow the Lord to increase, to build a faith, a foundation for you and I to be able to stand on. Because, folks, I could be wrong, but this world ain't going to get no better. It's going to get slowly worse. It may be fastly worse. I don't know. It's been going downhill pretty good the last several years. So how's our faith this afternoon? How is our faith this afternoon? All right, let's go to 1 Timothy. I'm trying not to hold us too long. Let's get on along there. 1 Timothy 6 and 10. 1 Timothy 6 and 10. Well, yeah, 6 and 10. But the love of money, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, piercing themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Then it said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now then, Ephesians 6 and 10 says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now then, he said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself, it's the love of it. That's what got the rich young ruler into trouble. His heart was after his money. He was a good young man. He was a better young man than a lot of young people today. I'm talking about outside the church now. And while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierce himself through with many sorrows. Money will bring a lot of heartaches to a lot of people. But thou, man of God, flee these things. I want you to flee these. In other words, don't set your heart on them. Don't get, you got to have a home, you got to have a job, all that. But don't allow it to possess you. Don't allow it to lead you and guide you. Back off from it. Do what the Lord would have you to do. And said, follow after. Go after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Now, some of this was preached just afternoon in a message from Brother Philip to us yesterday. Talked about meekness, talked about love. And the bottom line is, he said, godliness and faith. And follow after. He wants you to go after these things. He wants you to reach out after them. A number of years ago, I was wanting to know more about faith. I don't know that I really prayed this way, but the bottom line was I want him to increase my faith. And I was figuring in my mind what he was going to do was come along. And when I was reading and studying one time, he's just going to inspire me with a scripture. Oh, I'm just all excited. Anyway, he done it all. Had a car pull into the service station one night. And used to, they had two types of radiator hoses, a smooth one and a ribbed one. The ribbed ones you couldn't crush no matter what. The smooth ones, when there was no pressure in the whole system and it built different then than it is today, you could take and squeeze that hose if there was, you could squeeze it, there was no pressure in there. Well, this car come in, this person said, my radiator's hot. Well, I popped the hood and got to looking at it and I didn't see anything. And so I reached in and I grabbed the hose and crushed it and reached over and popped the cap. An artesian well come out of that radiator. And it burned me, my hand, and up, I believe, this arm up to about the elbow. Even though I had a long-sleeved shirt on, it still burned me through my shirt. Well, that was the way the Lord started to increase my faith. People picked on me. They laughed at me because I wasn't doing a whole lot to it. I was just trusting the Lord. And I mean, it wasn't so bad that it was in like a third or fourth degree burn, but you could definitely tell something had happened to my hand. Of course, it was hurtful, it was painful, and so forth, but the Lord worked with that, and he increased my faith. He helped me to see that I can do something for you. I got burned with a substance in my eye, Rouglide. Putting a tire on a rim one time at the same school, no, one was a daddy's, one was mine. But I got this tire on this rim and I aired it up and I took some of the Rouglide and I put it down in there where the valve core is to see if there was any leaks. And somehow I reached down and I hit that and that Rouglide come out and popped into my eyes. Well, I was all right through the day, but that night I started having trouble. Mama took me to the doctor and the eye doctor and he looked it all over and said, well, I told him what happened. He said, well, that stuff burns your eye. That's where your problem is. So he told me he patched up both eyes and told Mama to take me home and put curtains or blankets over the windows and keep it all dark in there and everything. And I was in a lot of pain. He prescribed the pain pills. So Mama went by and bought them. And then we was going home and I was going to take one of those pain pills. And the Lord spoke so plain to me, he said, it's not going to do you a bit of good. And it didn't. Brother Michael, I took that pain pill, it didn't help a bit. So I went on to the house, and Mama said, well, Brother Salmon's up in Guthrie in a revival meeting. Would you like him to come down and pray for you? I said, yes, ma'am. So Brother Mark come down, and the young minister come with him, and they come to the house there and come in the room. And Brother General, he started talking to me real lovingly and everything, and they anointed me and laid hands on me and prayed for me. When they did, all the pain left. My eye was healed 50%. Now, why I wasn't healed totally, I never figured that one out, but he healed it 50%. Well, I was able to sleep that night. The night before, I'd been up and down praying, and the Lord gave me relief and so forth. But that night, I just slept all the way through. Took me back to the eye doctor the next day, and he looked at it, and he was amazed. He said, well, something's happened. So I told him the story. He said, Carl, he said, we believe in prayer, but he said, we don't get those kind of results. And he said, you said that you took that pain pill and nothing happened? I said, absolutely, Dr. Ferris, not a thing. He said, if I took it, I'd still be groggy today. It was God. That was another part of my foundation of faith. In building, in setting in place for little old me to have faith, to reach out and to believe in God, in greater power, in greater workings of His Spirit. So, anyway, Daddy was coming down with the flu. I think Mama was coming down sick too. And the doctor said, well, what you need to do is have that preacher come back down and pray for them. Need to pray for them. So, but the bottom line was God working, building. I'm begging for more faith. He said what I wasn't asking for. He's going to send you things that'll work for you. It may not work for me particularly as well, but it'll work for you. It'll be exactly what you need, handcrafted from God to you to increase your faith and to help you to know more, understand, have a deeper depth of things, of the power and the workings of the Spirit of God, whereby when the storms come and the whiteouts are there, you can go right on in God. You can go right on anyway. Oh, today he said, follow after. Then it said, fight. Oh, I like this one. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, the devil's going to do everything he can do to stop you and to hinder your faith. That's the reason you need a good foundation. The more you have, the more power you've got, the better off you are. And fight. Fight the good fight. You can take your faith and you can hold that shield up. And it said it'll quench all, not some of, not a few of. And not only that, but those shields back there were made the height of a man. They were made like this, kind of oblong, and they're made up, and they're made wide enough where you could actually get out behind them and fight from around them. And they would protect you and help you. When they moved in to hit, you could get behind it, and the shield would take the blow. Well, when you have a good shield of faith, when the devil's shooting those fiery darts, you can hold that shield up or get down behind that shield and it'll quench. It'll stop. The fiery darts, the ignited missiles, the translation says in this book, the ignited missiles that the devil's hurling against you. It says above all, taking the shield of faith. Listen, folks, if you're a man, I preached a couple of messages lately on the armor, and there's one thing you don't want to leave, and that is your shield. It's very valuable. Every piece of the armor is very valuable. But that shield is very valuable. Your shield of faith is valuable to you. Take it with you at all times, day and night. He said, fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to fight with the enemy alone. We're going to have to lay hold on God, the power by faith, to be able to win the victories. Whereunto thou art also called and is professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now then, saints, let me tell you, if you profess a good profession before many witnesses, if you start losing your faith, it's going to damage people. I'm a teenager, it don't matter. I'm a middle-aged, it don't matter. If you claim that the Lord has saved you and you've lived a clean life, a saved life, a redeemed life, and you backslide, if you go down with your faith and go back, it'll hurt somebody. It'll hurt somebody. It may not be a whole host of people like some might be, but it will do some damage. Hold on to your faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't allow the devil to take you down to a shipwreck of faith. The devil wants to do that. All right, let's begin to wrap it up. Let's go to Matthew, the 18th chapter. 18th chapter in the... No. 21st chapter. I'm sorry. 21st of Matthew and 18th verse. 21. Matthew 21, 18. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said to it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. The disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered, and he said, unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if thou say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. All right, John the 14th chapter. John 14 and 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. All right, now then, the fig tree. The fig tree represents small trials and tribulations, battles, problems. But the mountain means your big stuff, your hard stuff. How many of you like mountains? Now, Brother Michael talked about climbing a mountain. I've never done quite what he's talking about. But I've gone up to some deals, and it can be very precarious. But you get to the top, the view is astronomical, depending on where you're at. And he's saying here now that, well, I done this to fig tree. There ain't no big deal, disciples. But here's what the real deal is. He said, but also if thou shalt say unto this mountain, I've got a big problem, Brother Carl. I've got a big trial. I've got a big tribulation. I've got something that's gone on. It's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And he says, if be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done. Not ifs, ands, and buts, but it shall be absolute without a shadow of a doubt. It shall be done in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. The Lord takes mountains down. He's bigger, holds the whole world in his hand. Said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He can handle a mountain. A fig tree might look big to some people, but a mountain would be a terrible obstacle in some people's mind. But I got news for you. As you get older in the Lord, you will have some mountains to deal with somewhere along the way. You may have fig trees now, but you will have some mountains. I've had a few of them. And they have been things that have been pretty big in my mind. And I've dealt with them and worked with them. But I've watched God come along. And as I would believe and as I would pray and as I would beg and cry and fast or whatever I needed to do, I've seen God take them and take care of them, praise God, by his power. And then you can glorify him. You didn't do it. He did it. He said that the works that I do, says, believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go. He's right there to help us. His power, his working. Listen, said, let us therefore come boldly in the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. He's right there to help you and I, to work with you and I. He's in us. He's living in us. He's given us power and authority to be able to do what we do. And so consequently, we can do what he wants us to do. We can have victory when he wants us to have it. Because he said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? We ask anything in his name. There is a story of a man that was a banker. He owned the bank. This was during, I believe, the Civil War. His son went to the war. His father got involved in helping all he could do with the soldiers and so forth. I mean, he wasn't on the battlefield, but he was helping in all kind of ways in the background, so to speak. One day he thought, I can't do this anymore. So he pulled back. Well, his son had a good friend in the army, and that good friend got wounded. So the son told the boy, he said, I want you to go to whatever town it was. I want you to go whatever's in that town, the name of the bank. And he said, I want you to ask for my father. And he wrote everything down on a piece of paper, and you go to him, and he'll help you. Well, so the soldier did it. He found the town, he found the bank, and they let him into the friend's office, the father. And he sat down and he began to talk to him. And he told him, he said, I'm so and so and so and so. And the father, he said, I don't know that he told him he knew his son at that point, but he just told him, I need your help. And the father said, I'm sorry, son, I've quit helping. So he reached in his pocket and he pulled out the note of his son and he handed it to the father. And the father read it. He said, I'll help you. Listen, the father is touched when we go to the son and ask anything in his name. I will do it. We've got that because we've got Jesus, the mediator, the power source, the one that helps us on the right hand. He's right there to help us out. Praise God. I'm going to do it. The Father will help us. You can do these things because I go unto my Father. He's right there. Father, I need help. In the name of Jesus, I'm coming in his son's name. He died for me. He saved me. I'm his child. And we can have it. Praise God. We can have it. All right, let's finish. Hebrews 10th chapter. Hebrews 10th chapter and 20th verse, I think I want. Hebrews 10 and 20. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Now, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For what does it say? He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now he says here, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession without wavering. Because why? He is faithful. Has the Lord ever been faithful to anybody in here? What's he done for you? Saved your soul, didn't he, Brother Bobby? Praise God. Lord bless you richly. The Lord has saved us. Those of us that are sanctified, he's sanctified us. He's led us. He's got us. He's answered prayer. He's worked miracles. He's done things that sometimes beyond what we can ask or think. He's faithful, isn't he? If he was faithful yesterday, what's the Bible say? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Austin Wilson was in a battle one time, many, many years ago. And in my mind, I visualize it as a holiday season because he said as he was going down the sidewalk, going to a store he was going to, he was meditating, said there was a lot of people. Of course, I've been in New York City and L.A. and all kinds of places. Had been busy on the sidewalks. It wasn't Christmas, it was a holiday. But anyway, he was going down there, and the Lord and him was having a conversation. He was walking down the deal, and he was in a real battle, and I guess he was struggling somewhat, per se. And as he walked and opened the door and walked in the store, the Lord spoke to him. He said, I've done it before, and I'm going to do it again. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. He's faithful to you. So let you and I hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering. Lord, help us. Lord, help us not to waver. Lord, help us to hold steady. Brother Salmon's preached a message. Some of you in here don't even know who the old general was. But I worked a lot with him. He housed me for 3 weeks in 87, helped me begin to get well. He was a mentor. And he preached a message one time, be steady as you go. Be steady. I've been in the ship that he talked about. I've been in the area right there. I've talked to the men that was on that boat when the bombs were coming down and blasting. And those Jet planes were flying and dropping and using their guns on the boat and so forth. One man said that a deal hit and said it exploded and slid him plumb up the side of the ship forever so far. But Brother Sammons was AWOL that day. And I've been with Brother Mark when we went into the room. He got down. He said there was plaques on the walls of those men that had been killed on that ship. And he said, I knew that one and that one. I guess he knew all of them. But he had a vivid memory that day of those men. But he said driving the boat or what are you piloting the boat, I guess a better way to put it. He said there was a tube up here and that tube come down. And the man up in the wherever would tell him so many degrees this way, so many degrees that way and so forth. And Brother Sammons would do what he told him to do. But he said then when the man got him going exactly the way he wanted him to go, he'd say, now steady, Sammons, steady, steady as you go. And that was his message. Be not wavering, but believing. Hold fast your faith in God all the way to the end. And you can say, I fought a good fight and I've kept the faith. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my own.